All right. Nice to have you with us tonight as Giants and Marlins go to game three of this series. Jason Vosler taking some ground balls at third base. So Vosler on the taxi squad. Longoria, tight hamstring. So who knows what's coming there. But we have one of our favorites on, and that is Mark Simon of Sports Info Solutions. Mark A. Simon says on Twitter, and always a pleasure to talk some ball with you. Mark, how are you?
Good. In place of a commercial, instead of having a commercial at the beginning, I'm glad that you mentioned that someone else is taking ground balls at third base because there are certain people that it's very challenging to watch play third base, as we saw at the end of last night's game.
I know, and you've been all over Mr. Flores of where to put him.
Yes, and I like him as a hitter, but he can't play third base.
Nope. And you know, in the long run, as I say, this is a problem. In the short run, you could deal with it for a day or two, but in the long run, you've got to have the guys with the gloves. So if Longoria is banged up, maybe Vosler is going to come up and play some defense. But the Giants threw 20 games, Mark, 13-7. They're a game behind the Dodgers. Do they have an MVP through 20 games?
Yeah, I think the MVP is a collaborative one, and I think it goes to like six or seven people. And I would start with Andrew Bailey and J.P. Martinez, the pitching coaches, Craig Albernaz, Buster Posey, Kurt Casale, and the analytics team for coming up with this incredible game plan that has seemingly improved just about every pitcher that they claimed as a reclamation project this year and done wonders with those guys through their first couple of starts of the season.
How good was Alex Wood last night? And Bruce Jenkins and Bill and I were thinking about who does he remind us of, and couldn't really come up with a lefty with that kind of herky-jerky motion. I thought maybe just a little bit of Kershaw at the end. But Alex Wood, he gets the ball, and he throws the ball. That's huge. And he throws it where he wants to throw it.
It's a pleasure watching a guy that wants to get the game over in 2.5 hours. He was great. Here's a name from the past that I thought of when I was watching him yesterday, and it's a little different, but do you remember Larry McWilliams, the lefty who used to be on the Braves?
Mm-hmm, sure.
I thought that was who I thought of with the kind of the windup and the slow stuff after slow stuff after slow stuff and then the occasional hard one. That was the closest that I could come in my mind to try and create something. So the stat on him that I like, so I was trying to think – last night, it looked pretty cold. It looked a little uncomfortable there. And I think to be that good at Oracle Park in April is a significant accomplishment. So there are three pitchers who have pitched at least seven innings and allowed one hit or fewer at Oracle Park in April for the Giants. Alex Wood did it last night. Matt Cain did it in 2012 in an afternoon game where it was about 50 degrees. Mm-hmm. And Randy Johnson did it on a sunny 70-plus degree day against the Diamondbacks in 2009. So I thought that was kind of cool that those three names get linked together for being that good in that ballpark usually less than pleasant conditions. But he's a pleasure to watch. It was great last night.
Yeah, very comfortable. And he owns the Marlins. He's got a good lifetime record against the Marlins. Players change. But throughout baseball, we see that every now and then. We see someone who just dominates a team, and he did it last night. But the catcher this week, and I had to do the difference maker of the week, and I chose Kurt Casale. Five straight shutouts? Come on. This goes back to 1900.
Yeah, it was like, I think it was one guy that was ahead of him. It was like Alan Ashby had caught six in a row. Alan Ashby was one of the guys on the list, and there was some really old guy from like 90, 100 years ago that had caught six in a row. So here's the thing. I went looking to see, like, is there anything that Kurt Casale does that is particularly good for these pitchers? And the answer is not really. Like, he's good. He's not a great pitch framer. He's a good pitch framer. He's okay at throwing out base runners. We don't really have a sense necessarily of how good he is at calling a game unless you ask the other pitchers that, which I know some of the writers have focused on him this week. I think it's just one of those mystical, bizarre twists that a guy who's 3-for-24 this season could be one of the most important people on the team because of how well he's caught these guys. And it's good that they found something good in him.
Well, he got a big hit too, drove in a couple of runs.
Yeah, that's right.
that helped as well. Chris Hoyles, I think I remember seeing that name on the list from the Orioles in 95, I think. Had a number of shutouts in a row. I remember that.
Yeah, I was watching Quick Pitch this morning. They flashed it on the screen. I was like, heard of him. Haven't heard of any of those four guys. Yeah.
No, they were very obscure. They really were. Yep. Hey, we talked about Wilmer Flores, and Vossler is taking some ground balls tonight. Maria Guardado tweeted that out. But where do you know, you've seen him as a Met. You've seen him as a Diamondback. And really, he makes some nice plays at first. He makes some nice plays at second. Where do you play this guy?
Yeah, I think not third. Is just I think he's challenged. Like, he gets to balls okay, but he's challenged by that throw that he's got to make when he's not when he's not fielding it on the run coming towards first base. If he has to make a long throw from the third base line. You see what you saw yesterday in the ninth inning, and it doesn't look good. And as you just said, he can handle second, he can handle first. Emergency, you put him at third, but like the less he can be there, the better. His strength is his offense, and you know that he's going to get big hits, and you know that he's going to produce value over time, like you saw it last year, just not in the field.
Yeah, he does it. I said it to Ron Wotus and to Greg Papa. The guy is a fly ball hitter and a line drive hitter. Runner on third, less than two out. I want this guy up. Well,
yes,
today's
and you
pitching
feel good
matchup.
With him.
Yeah, come on. Today's pitching matchup, Pablo Lopez, and Bill talked about him quite a bit, and the great, great changeup. And the ace of the staff, Mr. And just give the I love when you give the figures on the splitter, Kevin Gausman.
Yes, it's funny. So it was 1-for-73. We talked about it last week, that opponents were 1-for-their-last-73 against the Gausman splitter. Well, in that last start, it was a good thing that we mentioned it, because he had 3 hits on the splitter in his last start. He got a lot of outs with it, threw a lot of strikes with it, but he did give up 3 hits. He went he had a 336-pitch span where he gave up 4 hits, and then he gave up 3 in his next 35. The thing to watch with him tonight, average fastball velo was down in his last start. It was like 93-ish. He only got one miss on the swings against the fastball in his last start. So I would watch that, because you ideally want him like 95, 96, right? Lopez, the great changeup. Normally very tough on right-handed hitters, not as much on lefties. That start against the Giants was a little bit of an aberration. His next most strikeouts with the changeup was 5. So he went 9 in this start, but typically he's only going to get a few strikeouts with the changeup. So we'll see if the Giants are more ready for it today.
Well, the weather is a factor. It was for Alcantara last night. He never looked comfortable last night. He never looked like he was going to get loose last night.
Yeah, big temperature difference. San Francisco, Florida this time of year, I'd imagine.
Yep. Oh, yeah. He looked like he was ready for dinner in about the second inning. I watched a little bit of DeGrom last night, and it struck me. I mean, 15 strikeouts through 7 innings, and, of course, they were talking about, well, he's 6 more outs, 5 strikeouts. He, you know, can break a record and tie the record and all that kind of stuff. But he had a very easy 8th inning, no strikeouts, and they brought him out there for the 9th inning, and he had a shutout. And I said to myself, boy, why are you pushing him? And the Mets did, and, of course, he got the shutout. What do you think?
So I didn't have a problem with him pitching, because he didn't have a high stress pitch the whole night. Like he was basically playing catch the whole night. And this is the thing that worries me about baseball, is that you're seeing a lot of starts that delve into the territory of these where, it just seems like it's not fair. I like the idea of it's not fair a couple of times a year. But now you're seeing it's not fair with DeGrom every time. You're seeing it's not fair with Bieber most of the time. You're seeing it's not fair with a lot of these guys, where they just embarrass the hitters. Now, again, like when Pedro did it, Randy Johnson did it, great. But that was like it was harder to strike a guy out then. So I'm enjoying the DeGromination. But at the same time, I do put up the caution flag, because I think the game is headed in a direction that it might not want to be headed in.
Well, we've got about another minute or so to go, And it was funny last night. Yastrzemski hit a home run to left, and if he gets the ball down and down in the zone, he can do it. But the fan in the outfield was wearing a Giants jersey, but it wasn't any Giants jersey. It was Todd Benzinger. What was that all about?
That's what I'd like to know. And the guy looked older. He looked kind of scruffy as far as his hair went. And I would have loved to have seen him tweet or something about it, because why would you have a jersey from an 103-win team that had Will Clark, Robbie Thompson, Royce Clayton, Matt Williams, Barry Bonds, Bill Swift, John Burkett, Rod Beck? You have like 10 jersey options, and you took Todd Benzinger. And good for you that you did that, because to me, that shows true fan dedication, unless it's relative. But I always do jersey spotting when I go to games, and I look for like the middle reliever or the guy from 30 years ago that nobody remembers. So I thought it was cool that someone in the outfield last night was wearing a Todd Benzinger jersey. Look out for him.
Had to be a relative or a neighbor. But hey, yeah. Mark, fabulous having you on. We love having you on every week. Mark A. Simon says on Twitter, Mark Simon Sports Info Solutions. Have a great night, and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks, Mark.
You got it. Thanks.
All right, more coming up. We've got Kerry and Bill talking with Adam Copeland. Then Bill's going to do the pregame. I'll be back with you tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock when we get our pregame going Sunday morning. More coming up right after this.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Good for my career. Sent me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.